Big Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time we come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that loves undivided.
Yup. You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work or you're gonna go to jail. I just kinda wish we didn't think like that. Why's it gotta be all white or all black?
Welcome back.
And when we gonna learn to try on someone's shoes sometimes.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Thursday, April 27th, 2023. I missed the mark, and we should have done the Vivek thing, because I think it's really kind of the perfect companion to, you know, the first hour, bad Andrew Breitbart intro, it's war. Vivek, I have a dream. We could turn this thing around. We all choose. If we don't get sucked into the hypnotic trance of this nihilistic impulse and, you know, a Marxist reaction to it, then maybe, just maybe, something incredible, something miraculous. And I don't mean that in a hyperbolic sense. It would be miraculous. It would be, in my opinion, Jonah's gospel. I've been telling that story for more than 15 years. And it's not hyperbolic. It's very biblically literal, if you will. But, you know, again, you look at these interlocking, you know, groups and the stranglehold on everything. We can use this mechanism to, you know, take over the world and buy up all of its resources and kill off the useless class, as Harari says pretty plainly. Anyway. If there is hope and change possible, I think Vivek has the vision and he wants the rest of us to catch it. Here that is. Go ahead, please.
We're in the middle of a national identity crisis. Faith, patriotism, and hard work have disappeared, only to be replaced by new secular religions like COVIDism, climatism, and gender ideology. We hunger to be part of something bigger than ourselves, yet we cannot even answer the question of what it means to be an American. Today, the woke left preys on that vacuum. They tell you that your race, your gender, and your sexual orientation govern who you are, what you can achieve, and what you're allowed to think. This is psychological slavery, and that has created a new culture of fear in our country that has completely replaced our culture of free speech in America. And that is why today I am announcing my run for President of the United States. This isn't just a political campaign. This is a cultural movement to create a new American dream for the next generation. To me, the American dream means you believe in merit, that you get ahead in this country, not on the color of your skin, but on the content of your character and your contributions. It means you believe the people who we elect to run the government are the ones who actually run the government, not a federal bureaucracy that grows like a national cancer that is now metastasizing to the private sector. It means that the best ideas win instead of getting censored. It means you don't have to choose between speaking your mind freely and putting food on the dinner table. It means you believe these ideals form the backbone of the greatest nation on earth, that the rest of the world still looks up to as its example, not the Soviet Union in the last century, and not communist China in this one either. That is the new American dream. Ask yourself if you believe in these ideals. I think most of you do. I think most of you believe your neighbors do too, though you can't be sure because you don't feel free to talk about it anymore. You might disagree with each other about corporate tax rates or about whether ivermectin treats COVID, but those are details. we still agree on our nation's most fundamental principles. At least most of us do. Yet the goal of the ruling party in this country is to convince us that we are divided. Why? So they can accumulate more power for themselves. Well, you know what? I have a dream that we can be one people again. We have obsessed so much over our diversity and our differences that we forgot all the ways we're really just the same as Americans, bound together by a common set of ideals that brought together a divided, diverse, headstrong group of people 250 years ago. And I believe deep in my bones that those ideals still exist, and I am running for president to revive them. E pluribus unum. From many, one. That is the dream that won the American Revolution. That is the dream that reunited us after the Civil War. That is the dream that won us two world wars and the Cold War. That is the dream that still gives hope to the free world today. And if we can revive that dream over fractious group identity, then nobody in the world, not a nation, not a corporation, not a virus, is going to defeat us. That is what American exceptionalism is all about. And that is what we will need to revive to save this great nation.
In fairness, you know, I want to applaud Vivek's efforts. You know, I would, if I had to guess, I would suspect. I mean, it's been interesting just to watch, for example, the whatever you call it, what has happened in the wake of Vivek's fiery exchange with Don Lemon. We played that. It was interesting. Well, no, I think I just mentioned it. Maybe I thought it real loud. I did mention it. But that was interesting. It's interesting to see what has, you know, sort of unfolded after the fact, how, you know, maybe that was somehow related, and that was, I think, used as an opportunistic moment, as some people have surmised, to finally give Don Lemon the boot, and that would be overshadowed by the Tucker thing, and that, you know, has been speculated widely, you know, seven ways from Sunday or six ways from Sunday, and even the Murdoch family, you know, apparently, I mean, the story goes that it was the religious reference at the Heritage Talk that finally did it, which again, I think is, you know, it's painfully obvious that's just an opportunistic moment. And then there's the bigger issue of, you know, people talking about how, you know, maybe this silences Tucker for however long. It's not Tucker so much as, you know, the folks that he was speaking for and the vacuum that might create, and who knows what happens there. Anyway, for someone like Vivek, I would say, and Bobby Kennedy Jr. for that matter, I would suspect the gaslighting is strong and intense. And, you know, the messaging is something along the lines of what someone like Martin Luther King Jr. was receiving from the FBI. You know what? Nobody likes you. You should just go kill yourself, kind of thing. I mean, I don't know, but I would suspect. I mean, because again, getting back to the sort of epicenter of power, you know, you have generational wealth. There's a video, maybe we should play one of these. There are several of them. Jake Tran did a video recently, The Secret of Family That Owns All of Europe. There was one by the King Luxury Channel last year, This Family Secretly Rules the World. These things have been put out over and over. There's lots of those kinds of things. They're interesting. And I know Jake Tran has done a few of those kinds of things. The one that Jake Tran did recently, I think is particularly interesting because he hits so many points of kind of a consistent theme. This is how the deal works, you know, and, you know, including investing in both sides of conflict, which, again, you know, Anthony Sutton proved conclusively it was not that long ago that we were very familiar with Anthony Sutton. Now, people writing about this stuff, instead of saying trilaterals over Washington by Anthony Sutton and Patrick Wood, now they say Patrick Wood and Anthony Sutton. So, you know, I guess that's kind of how things work over time. We are trying, I am trying to hold the line and make sure that we don't, these things don't get entirely memory holed. Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, I think, is an important lesson because we call them cultural Marxists now. I think we should, I think the proper and more appropriate term is cultural Bolsheviks. And so, getting back to Chicago in a minute, seeing what happens there, you know, it's not kids starved for opportunity. It is the embryo of Bolshevik overthrow. Because it's the whole incubation process is sort of predicated on evil. And that's an interesting point. You know what? Maybe we should play at least that excerpt from the Tucker Carlson speech, which has been meteoric, by the way. I think that's one of the most interesting things about it. It's on YouTube, which is always curious. And it was, what was it, just under 3.5 million views. It was 3,477,900. And then, you know, just this morning, it's gone from that to a couple hundred thousand more, I think, or not quite that many, maybe 20,000 more in a short period of time, which is, that's pretty significant, especially when you look at the other Heritage videos that, you know, probably average around 1,000 views. Here's one that's 3.5 million views in 2 days. So obviously that has a lot to do with the circumstances and the person giving the speech. However, you know, I think it's more than just that. So let me see if we could sort of pin down the excerpt real quick that I'm talking about and give you that. Bear with me. Multitasking is bad for radio, and I apologize, but it's on my shoulders to grab this real quick. And this sort of speaks to the let me back it up a little bit. Speaking of Brandon Johnson, a good Christian socialist who is going to reaffirm what is the term that's used? I forget. Not women's reproductive whatever. I forget the term that they use, but, you know, basically that. You know, the infanticide. Where do we want to put a fork in this? That's probably good. All right, so That should work. This clip that we'll play here in a second, you know, again, if we could get rid of 545 people and even the staffers, you know, because again, James P. Hill nailed it all those many years ago in the third house versus the fourth branch back in 1986. We've known these things for a long time. So, you know, where have we been for the last almost 40 years when it comes to that? You know, and Vivek is talking about the administrative managerial class, third house versus the fourth branch. James P. Hill says, you know, if even if you could throw out 545 people, you still have the, you know, the liaising crowd. So what would you do about that? Even if we could do that, it's the mindset. It's the whole sort of predominating ethos. That's the issue. And these kids, I got a clip for that. Speaking of Chicago, we'll do that. But, you know, this sort of speaks to the issue, too, from Tucker's heritage speech. Go ahead, please.
He stands up and says, you know what you can do to help the economy? Get an abortion. Well, that's like an Aztec principle, actually. There's not a society in history that didn't practice human sacrifice. Not one. I checked. Even the Scandinavians, I'm ashamed to say. It wasn't just the Mesoamericans. It was everybody. So, like, that's what that is. Well, what's the point of child sacrifice? Well, there's no policy goal entwined with that. No, that's a theological phenomenon. And that's kind of the point I'm making. None of this makes sense in conventional political terms. When people or crowds of people, or the largest crowd of people at all, which is the federal government, the largest human organization in human history, decide that the goal is to destroy things, destruction for its own sake, hey, let's tear it down, what you're watching is not a political movement, it's evil. So if you want to assess, and I'll put it in non, and I'll stop with this. I'll put it in non, non-specific theological terms, and just say, if you want to know what's evil and what's good, what are the characteristics of those? And by the way, you know, I think the Athenians would have agreed with this. This is not necessarily just a Christian notion. This is kind of a, I would say, widely agreed upon understanding of good and evil. What are its products? What do these two conditions produce? Well, I mean, good is characterized by order, calmness, tranquility, peace, whatever you want to call it, lack of conflict, cleanliness. Cleanliness is next to godliness. It's true. It is. And evil is characterized by their opposites: violence, hate, disorder, division, disorganization, and filth. So if you are all in on the things that produce the latter basket of outcomes, what you're really advocating for is evil. That's just true. I'm not calling for religious war, far from it. I'm merely calling for an acknowledgement of what we're watching, which is not one, and I'm not certainly not backing the Republican Party. I mean, ugh. I'm not making a partisan point.
Okay, so this speaks to, you know, what we've seen over the last many years now, at least decade, the slow rolling color revolutionary, low intensity conflict that has swept America, and that young people even think it's okay, remotely okay, to basically act insane. Speaks to our time. We're headed into a break. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
A class action lawsuit over censorship has been filed. I'm Peter Serafin with another Liberty Minute. I carry a gun to protect those around me. I'm a member of Right to Bear to protect my legal rights. Use code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com for affordable carry insurance. Children's Health Defense has filed a lawsuit against President Biden and several top offices over government pressuring social media companies to censor users. The First Amendment is clear. The government cannot stifle speech. Asking a third party, like a social media company, to censor is still a violation of our rights. No matter who is actually doing the censoring, if it's being directed by the government, then it is a violation of First Amendment protected speech. Any government who silences anyone who questions their authority is tyrannical and authoritarian. My question is, why did it take so long to file this lawsuit? The White House admitted that they were doing this 2 years ago. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sebas Pashem, Parabellum.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
Welcome back. So, the next clip I want to play, we'll wait and we'll play it in the next segment. It's actually titled "Bill Maher Calls Out Liberal Cities. Why Isn't Anyone Talking About This?" And it's interesting because it was David Webb on Outnumbered with Harris Faulkner, and I think it was kind of ironic because David Webb was sort of outnumbered by Harris Faulkner, Emily Campagno, and Kayleigh McEnany, and Lisa Booth. The hen pen got excited, as, you know, sort of happens sometimes. But, you know, the point that he makes about Brandon Johnson and the CTU is something that, if you've been paying attention, you're noticing there's a creep. The stuff that Andrew Breitbart was talking about 13 years ago, 12 years ago, whatever it is now, at Heritage and at the 2012 CPAC, for example. It's metastasizing, essentially. So, and his remarks remind me of, I mean, I always think of the exchange between Candace Owens and Dinesh on the Candace Owens show, when we played that clip, you know, of them talking about Collinford Mattis and Aruj Rahman, were the kids who had ruined their lives, exactly as Brandon Johnson talked about. And there was a time in this society where you could, you know, I think if you're, you know, if you're around my age, if you're, you know, you were born one, you know, somewhere on one side or the other of around 1970, you still remember a time where if you did something stupid, you know, the adults in the room would sort of secretly conspire to make sure that you understood the error of your ways. Maybe you took a ride, you know, as kids setting fields on fire or something, not realizing how stupid that is, would, you know, take a ride in a patrol car around the block or the neighborhood or something. We used to do things like that. Now that's child abuse, but it's okay to, you know, allow hordes of burgeoning cultural Bolsheviks to engage in riotous, you know, looting and all kinds of other fun things. And it's not, you know, just the, hey, we shouldn't have been doing this. It's the mob. It's the herd mentality. It's the mob mentality that is being emboldened. And when you say things like what Brandon Johnson has been saying for a long time, you are emboldening the cultural Bolshevik element, which is the element, you know, I think Christopher Rufo puts it best, that, as I mentioned yesterday and before, The New Face of Marxism is a good, I think, about 20-minute installment on that subject. There are no answers. The answer is burn it all down. And that's what I think Tucker was speaking to in the remarks that we played. And, you know, there's a reason that this happens. People get swept up in this current. So I think what we'll do is we'll play the clip, again, titled Bill Maher Calls Out Liberal Cities. It's a little bit of Bill Maher, but then the point that David Webb makes is really the salient takeaway in what's happening in Chicago as an example of what has been planned and intended for all of American society. You may recall, if you've listened to this broadcast for any length of time, that you know, for years, I actually mentioned it recently. Peter Lydon's series on Medium for New Company Shift, California is the Future. And, you know, articles like The Great Lesson of California and America's New Civil War back in January of 2018. Why there's no bipartisan way forward at this juncture in our history. One side must win. These people are not kidding. You know, and people say, you know, a lot of people have been commenting in recent years about how this isn't grandma's Democratic Party. That's what Peter Lydon wrote back in 2017, The New California Democrat and America's New Way Forward. Etc., etc. He began that series with the article titled California is the Future of American Politics. You could say at this point, Chicago is the future of American politics. Stick around. We'll be right back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up, with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQ, RS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What? Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, you know.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
Welcome back.
I'm feeling good.
Esoterically perfect and just right on cue. Do we explain first? Do we give the example first? I think we give the example first. And so that's that video. That's David Webb's remarks. And again, the video is titled Bill Maher Calls Out Liberal Cities. Why isn't anyone talking about this? I would encourage you to go back and listen to this. We'll play it. I'll give the explainer. But I would encourage you to listen to it after that. And then listen to some of this other stuff. You know, I mean, the Candace Owens Dinesh interview, which you can find on YouTube also, and that was a couple of years ago. That was back in July of 2020. The description was, that's a PragerU channel video, actually. Socialism is a disastrous form of government, but you know what? Chicago doesn't think so, apparently. At the end of the Reagan era, however, it appeared that socialism had been assigned to the ash heap of history. So what is fueling socialism's revival in America? Dinesh, the author of United States of Socialism, joins Candace. That one where they, again, where they talk about Collingford Mattis and Urruj Rahman as the quintessential examples of what David Webb is going to talk about. And how these young people don't realize they're destroying their lives. And they're being, you know, I could go on and on about the examples. One of my favorite that I've harped on over the years is Yale's Islamic Studies, which is not Islamic Studies. It's what Omar Aziz referred to it as. And his article at Huffington Post was titled Wahhabism, Saudi Arabia, and Their Gift to Yale. The first thing you need to know about Saudi Arabia is that it is not a country but a financial and religious empire with a million poisonous tentacles stretching out across both the West and the Muslim world. And that's, I would say that's a very accurate statement. And that's not to vilify, you know, people other than, let's say, the British intrigue that created this thing for specific purposes. And I would argue Israel, you know, still wrestling with this thing that I don't think is the biblical Israel. It doesn't seem like Jacob's descendants to me. It's, you know, lots of quagmires in that discussion. Anyway, not to get off track, you know, back when Omar Aziz wrote about this in 2016 or 2015, the Yale Islamic Studies, you know, that was begun by a $10 million grant from a Saudi billionaire with, you know, ties to the military-industrial complex and et cetera, et cetera. Kind of a Khashoggi-type figure, basically. Bond supervillain arms trafficking kind of person. I speculated, we'll see, maybe it is Islamic Studies. Why does Yale need to do that? We'll see what happens. And, you know, read what some of the graduate students write. And it turns out that they were, you know, card-carrying Wahhabi Salafi radicals after going through the Yale Islamic Studies program. I read some of the stuff at the time on air, actually. And it's the same thing that folks like Collingford Mattis and Urruj Rahman experienced in their higher education, which, you know, reminds one of this. I mean, this is just a recurrent theme. This is the Whitaker Chambers moment. This is the Whitaker Chambers lesson. Anyway, let's give the example. So this video, again, is titled Bill Maher Calls Out Liberal Cities. Why isn't anyone talking about this? Bill Maher is a conservative now. Just kidding. These are dubious titles anyway. I'm just being facetious. But it just speaks to the current of things. So here's that. Here's the example and David Webb's remarks. Go ahead, please.
We are not imagining it, and it's happening all across the country. America's crime crisis, devastating crime wave right now that's gripping Chicago and leading to countless tragic deaths there. Bill Maher, you know, the big host, echoing a question which I raised just last week. Why are the media not speaking out about the growing violence? Watch.
Why isn't anyone ever talking to, like, Chicago? Like, most of the shootings are young black men killing other young black men. Is that not correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Much more than what the cops do. Why doesn't anybody talk about that? Well, I mean, why aren't there, you know, 100 giant black celebrities who would have the respect of those people saying, what are you doing to yourselves? Why are you killing each other?
This is no way to live. This dishonors our community. Come on. We're better than this.
Right. I feel like it's never addressed.
There's a narrative, and that doesn't fit it. That black on black crime, and I say it all the time on this program, anywhere, really, I speak about it, because if black lives matter, if all lives matter, then you would see BLM, the organization, not just scooping up money through its coffers and raising money, but not organizing anything, of course. You would see those reflexive blacks in the community coming out and saying, oh, you know, you got to get up in their faces and you got to do this and you got to do that, but not going to Chicago. I mean, Obama's willing to build that monstrosity of a presidential library and regentrify the place and displace all the black grandmas, but he's not going to go to his hometown that's basically on fire right now?
Because it's not just about black on black crime. And frankly, it's crime coming out of predominantly black neighborhoods in Chicago that is spreading around the city. It's beating a woman to the ground during the feral teen takeover in downtown, a white woman. It's gone beyond that. And I want to go to something, because we've really got to look at these things bigger picture. Brandon Johnson in 2013 spoke at the Socialism Conference. He talked about getting teachers to wear the red T-shirt on Friday, then getting the young people to wear the red T-shirt. I would encourage anyone to do as I did. Go and look at his speech at the Socialism Conference. In 2013, he said this. 10 years later, they found a path for the CTU to put their socialist at the top. And what they did was they used anybody by any means necessary. Black people that are committing these crimes ruin their lives. So let's talk about what happens to those who are, in a sense, incentivized to commit crime. Their lives are over. They will not get a job. They will not get a future. You get companies like Citadel leaving Chicago. Ken Griffin buys a Florida mansion, brings 1,000 jobs that are good paying jobs out. Now you get an economic desert building. So you're seeing the end of Chicago. And just like Detroit, it lost 25% of its population. Chicago is dying. And this is the death knell of Chicago. Blacks, everyone will suffer. And there's really no future being presented.
So what I love about David, Kaylee, is that he literally will go back and look for receipts. So we're going to check out that 2013 speech, because that's the new mayor-elect. That's who replaced what we arguably could say was one of the most far-left mayors on crime that we had ever seen, Lori Lightfoot. And now Brandon Johnson.
Brandon Johnson, who is worse than Lori Lightfoot, who is trying to engage in a little revisionist history. I almost fell out of my chair when I read Lori Lightfoot. Remember, she's the first mayor not reelected in 40 years in Chicago. She said, but I know that there are people in my city that are wreaking havoc every day and they need to be off the streets. Okay, where were you for 4 years? You were mayor for 4 years, and only 12% of crimes had an arrest attached to the end, the lowest level of arrest we'd seen since they started taking statistics. You're not a commentator. You're not a bystander, Lori Lightfoot. You caused this problem.
Emily.
Yeah, well, it's not a full pivot, though, Kaylee, because don't forget, after that feral mob, as you call them, as the kids wreaked havoc and mayhem all over Chicago.
Three people got shot, by the way.
And she said, oh, no, there was just a few with poor intentions and they will be dealt with. She said, I refuse to use your language, which I think is wrong to say there's mayhem. Johnson still will not call it for what it is. The black on black crime, the horrible rates. Recently, they said it's been called the new low for Chicago when two teenage boys stole a car, smashed into a truck with a family driving, and they killed a little baby. They were only charged with misdemeanors of stealing the cars. But theft, meanwhile, against the backdrop, has risen 25%. Overall crimes up 47%. After that mob, think about the charges. They were all mostly misdemeanors. I don't have time to go through all of them. I have them written here.
Can I just follow up with one thing? Because you put this better than anybody I know. I was trying to explain to somebody how the numbers have been fudged with in these Democrat-led cities and why, well, it looks like crime's going down. Can you talk just quickly about the declassification and reclassification of crimes?
Because these liberal activist district attorneys have reclassified the crimes designations. So they reclassify from violent to non-violent, and they reclassify from felony to misdemeanor. So they can go ahead and say, oh, felonies have gone down. Oh, but this wasn't a violent crime. It's because they changed the definition, like this administration loves to do.
I think it honestly, in my opinion, comes down to that pushing this social justice narrative sells more Nikes than telling the truth. People don't want to tell the truth in today's society, and that's why we have so many problems. But even more than that, what would actually do more to solve crime in America would be encouraging dads to stick around, would be encouraging women to seek out partners in life and men in life that would be good fathers who want to stick around. Mm. That would do way more for this country than anything else.
You are yes, my prayer partner for a reason.
Thank yes. you, Harris.
Appreciate it, Lisa.
Thank you.
Hey, everyone.
Lisa
I'm
Booth
Emily
has
Campagno.
The last word. David Webb agrees. Everybody agrees. Candace Owens agrees. Thomas Sowell agrees. Walter E. Williams agreed. Lots of folks agree. The explainer is Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top, and those three main reasons in particular. And, you know, again, hubris emboldened. Hubris unchecked is emboldened. And that's what we're seeing. It is not cultural Marxism. It is cultural Bolshevism. And it will, you know, the rolling color revolution, a different sort of long march, won't stay low intensity forever. History tells us. Suppose instead of doing the explainer right now, we'll go to the phones and grab Brian in Washington. Brian, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Thank you, Chris.
Good morning.
I'm kind of concerned as Fred in Iowa dies off. James in Montana, I believe was his name, and
Vancouver.
Who was pretty on the up and up in Montana?
William.
Yeah, William passed, and mm-hmm. John in Tennessee.
Yeah.
My concern is Larkin, Texas will have some kind of a brain anomaly and be unable to function, and along with him maybe myself and Martin Paul in Portland, Oregon, if you get a slow news day, I'm still encouraging Dr. Martin Paul from your neck of the woods in Pullman, Washington. What I see is a huge amount of Allison McDowell pointing out that the data and surveillance of all this tech is a problem, but it seems like what's missing from a lot of these pontificators of the problem is the actual health effects on humans, not only, but all biological life.
Absolutely.
Including plants.
I feel like I talked about that at least anecdotally yesterday, and how the smart city is really bad for all, you know, biological life, but it's great for machines. And you know, while we're on the subject, it's interesting that you know, the Wired magazine article that I mentioned, I keep coming back to, the battery that never gets flat. We don't talk about batteries getting flat. What do we say? The battery that never dies. Funny that, you know, that wasn't the title. Battery that never gets flat is you. It's me. It's your body generates enough energy to power wearables, medical sensors, implanted devices, etc. So, you know, instead of machines serving people, we're trending more in the, you know, I mean, whether it's surveillance capitalism and data is the new oil, or, you know, articles like this Wired magazine article, seems we're trending in the direction of people serving machines, doesn't it? And then there's the deeper esoteric aspect of that, which I think is actually the first issue, which is that, you know, it's a demonic horde that will be presented as artificial intelligence, quote-unquote, but really not. Anyway, I try to speak to that, not exactly in the same terms, but just saying.
Okay, well, my question is, since you had Aman Jabi on, what would mm-hmm. you think about bringing on Dr. Paul onto your broadcast.
Sure.
So could I make an attempt to set it up for tomorrow?
Tomorrow might be a little too ambitious, I think.
Yep.
I'm not opposed to it, but this is not an opportune moment, I would say. I don't feel like I would be able to prepare in time and,
understood.
You know, that would be, I think, unfair to
Well, Dr. I was
Paul,
hoping it was going to allow you to take the day off. And, I mean, with the brain you have between your ears, you could just roll with this. You don't have to prepare for the show. I was hoping to give you a break. Do you want to propose a date?
Well, you know, again, I mean, that's something, you know, I don't know, maybe we could discuss that. I don't know exactly what you intend, so I'm open to possibilities.
Okay. Well, I was hoping for a full 2 hours of Chris Inklee, describing where not only is this data collection dangerous to us, but it's also has huge health effects, including what it's doing to these adolescents that are addicted to it and walk around like zombies.
Yeah.
That would be my synopsis of what I'm proposing.
So, I mean, it sounded like you wanted sort of in lieu of me, but then, you know, you said to have me be a part of that. So,
yes, I would like you to facilitate the interview, and take on the full 2 hours. I think whatever the hell Tucker Carlson is up to doesn't really matter to me. This is crucially important. So,
well, I understand your point, and obviously there's a controversy there that I've spoken to that as well. The thing that interests me particularly about his remarks at Heritage is the general zeitgeist of the moment, so to speak, and how it, you know, his talk really kind of speaks to that as much as anything. And I think that's important because I think, I mean, my contention and my sincere conviction is that it is first and foremost a spiritual battle. It's an Ephesians 6 battle first and foremost. And so I think his remarks there at Heritage last Friday, published 2 days ago on YouTube, speak to that, in my humble opinion. So that's why it matters to me. But the other is obviously important too, and I've tried to make that abundantly clear as well. You know, I mean, what is happening is a slow rolling genocide. It's a slow rolling eliminationism. It's soft kill in whatever, you know, wherever you want to look. That's what we see happening, and this, what you're talking about right now, is no exception, obviously, and it works, I think, in plausibly deniable fashion, because it's not like, you know, a whole town was wiped out or all of the 25 to 45 year olds died, or it's here, it's there, it's spotty, it's not everybody. And we don't, you know, obviously the pharma funded establishment news contingent is not going to report accurately and comprehensively on all that is happening. I mean, it is total war and there are casualties. People are dying, and in no small part due to what you're talking about. So, we should definitely. And I mean, I keep thinking of Pastor Martin Niemöller. If we don't do something soon, that, you know, there will be none of us left to speak. I guess we'll all be in pods running wearables and medical sensors and implanted devices. It's time for people to say, you know, I've been saying for a long time, I'm sure you remember, we need to, all of us, decide where the line is.
So it's my memory that says that John in Tennessee would call into the show and or communicate directly with Lark in Texas. After he calls in, why don't you just trust in the Lord, read the Bible, none of your attempts at resisting this communitarian nightmare are warranted. This is highly suspicious to me.
Well, so, that's exactly why I say what I say, though. I mean, that's why I said what I just said. It's incumbent upon each one of us to decide where that line is, and the implied is for ourselves, because to me it's a Christian liberty kind of thing, maybe a Romans 14 kind of thing, where each man must be fully convinced in his own mind. I don't know that there's a one-size-fits-all approach, and I you know, maybe there is, but I don't know what it is if there is. You know, and we could be cliche, but when you get down to it, it's one of those hard realities of history that we don't know. Nobody knows until you get there how you will respond. But it helps to have thought about it in advance.
So I'm looking at the clock. We're down to the wire.
Yeah, and we got one more call that we need to grab too. So,
all right, we'll drop off. We'll make an attempt. Dr. Paul will communicate with you via email and see if we
Sounds
can
good.
Set it up. Thanks so
All
much.
Right. Thanks, Brian. Right.
You're welcome.
Patrick in Texas. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah. Is that Rand Paul? Dr. Rand Paul?
Martin
Man,
Paul.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Maybe
I
that'll
just,
happen.
You know, I just wanted to point out to you, like, you know, you said that Israel we have over there in the Middle East, they're not acting like they should be. Well, no, they're not. They're not. They're illegitimate. It's a ruse.
I have a hard time believing that those are the descendants of Jacob.
Creation there. They're you know, people would say they're Edomites, or I would say they're Canaanites, but they're definitely not the you know, the chosen people. We know who they where they are, where they went. But you said, you know, there's a line. You know, where is that line at? Well, we don't pass that long time ago. We're definitely under attack. But the question is, what are we going to do about it, and how we're going to, what are we going to fill that void with? And people bash, you know, Christianity, you know, left and right, you know, but, you know, it's like jihad, you know, Jesus and Jefferson. You know, Jefferson, you know, was a model. You know, very successful. Jesus is a model. What are you going to replace that with? You know, some tribal, underworld law, dictatorship by the tribal chief. You know, there's you know, that's where Christianity's been around for a long time. And yes, they have organized religion and it's got out of hand, but it's done a lot of very good things. You know, they kept the Jews in check with their, ratings for their movies and so on and so forth. But they've infiltrated that very successfully. And we need to understand that. And you've got to get with this organized religion, because that is completely corrupt. And find out just exactly, what is our
That will do it. We're at the end. Thanks, Patrick. Folks, I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.